Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. So I wanted to go over some big changes that I am making to my portfolio right now. Hopefully you guys can maybe learn from some of the mistakes that I've made or maybe some of the successes that I've had or I will have in the future. I don't see a lot of people in the chat saying I'm going all in on GameStop. No. That's not it. But I think there's a lot of lessons that you can learn from that chart about trading and how, what to do and maybe what not to do. So maybe we could just go ahead and start with that. Let's go right over there. And I'm only going to spend a couple seconds here, just maybe 30 seconds, because I want to get into the meat of the topic, which is really about the changes that I'm making to my portfolio. So let's go over to GameStop here. Okay. This is why the retail trader, and that includes me, absolutely 100%. This is why the game is so difficult. It's not really picking a stock. It's managing the portfolio. So, I mean, you can just, for a thought experiment, assume that you bought right even here, right when Hello Kitty came out and started making his announcement through all of his creative memes. So you bought at, let's just say, I don't know, $24 or something like that. And you were just on cloud nine because it was going so high. And then Portnoy came out and Tate came out, just pump. And now it's just absolutely collapsed. And so the question is, what do you do? Do you sell? Do you hold? I don't know. I mean, obviously everyone's different, but you can see that decision-making process becomes very, very challenging. And unfortunately, the way we are hardwired as human beings is to buy at the, even if we get the stock right, it's to buy at the wrong time and sell at the wrong time because we're not robots. We are emotional human beings, flawed human beings. And I will put myself right at the top of the list. So this is what makes trading so difficult. As most of you know, we'll stay on this chart because I'm going to go back and forth to a bunch of different charts pretty soon. But most of you know that I spend quite a bit of time in St. Bart's. And the last 2 weeks that I spent there, this was, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was spending every single day, all day, with a very, very good friend of mine that I've now known for almost 3-4 years, going back to the Cerveza sickness. And this person, we call him Steve on the channel, because he's very incognito. He doesn't like media attention or anything like that. He has been one of the top traders, one of the top hedge fund managers, I mean, pretty much going back to the 1980s, the mid, late 1980s. And he has seen the fall or the rise, the crash of Japan.com, GFC, housing, surveys. I mean, he has just been there, done that. And he's survived and he's made money in all of those times. And he's retired, obviously, but he still trades. Now, is he sitting there doing all the insider deals with Citadel? And no. In fact, when he trades, it's just like you and I. He just has his, I forgot what, you know, Interactive Brokers, let's say. That's not who he uses. But let's just say he's just got his Interactive Broker account. He just sits there on his laptop. There's no, he's not calling into, you know, Robinhood to get all the detail from retail to front run the trades or anything. Yeah, he's just doing it for fun. But the benefit to spending every day with this guy and a couple others there on St. Bart's. And by the way, it's not Hugh, because Hugh's really not a trader. He's more of a macro guy. But the benefit is you see the level of sophistication. You see the rules they abide by. And Josh and I were just talking about this the other day. Steve, if he bought at, well, first of all, he'd never be in GameStop. But if he was, I can assure you, and Josh has met Steve and hung out with him quite a bit, and Josh, I think you can back me up on this one. If he was in GameStop, I can assure you he would have made a lot of money on the upside. And he would have made a lot of money coming down. And it's not that he would have timed it perfectly. It's that he would have known how to structure the bet to where there was asymmetry. And then he would have known when likely to sell and when likely to buy. Is it because he's a genius? Absolutely not. Because he's been doing it successfully for 40 years. for heaven's sakes. He's survived. He's not only survived, but he's actually made money, right? Unlike LTCM, unlike Melvin, unlike, you know, whoever the guys were that got wrecked in the last AMC or meme craze, right? Okay, so on that note, I have made some big changes to the portfolio. Let's go over that right now. And then let's go over kind of some things that I've added to the watch list based on what we're seeing in the news around revolving around the economy. So the first conclusion that I came to from St. Bart's is that the way to be, if you even want to have a prayer of being successful in trading, now I'm not talking about long-term investing, talk about trading, much different. But if you even want to have a prayer of being even remotely successful, you need to allocate like 3 or 4 hours a day to this stuff. It's just, it is what it is. That's the bottom line. This is not something that you can just do as a hobby, right? Unless you got 40 years of experience. Then you have to have an edge, and very few people do. And very few people know how to even determine if they have an edge. And that's where the binomial calculator comes in. In fact, I used that binomial calculator with Steve, and the results were quite frankly shocking, because it runs counter to absolutely every rule in the book as far as how to trade. But what I want to do is really summarize all my thoughts into a webinar. Most people like those. So I'm going to do a deep dive webinar on Wednesday next week, 2 p.m. Eastern. So Josh, if you could put that in the calendar and set that up, I'd appreciate it. And I'll remind you guys a couple times throughout the videos between now and then. So if you want to register for that, you can go to georgegammon.com/pro, or you just register for a $1 trial and you can be a part of that webinar, that live webinar. Again, that's going to be Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to go over all of those things that I learned and kind of the takeaways from how to, the takeaways, the epiphanies maybe that I had in determining how or if a certain strategy has an edge. And so based on that, as most of you know, I've got two model portfolios for Rebel Capitalist Pro. I've got the long-term portfolio, which really I haven't touched, gold, treasuries, T-bills, is rolling that over, kind of waiting for better opportunities, waiting for to buy stuff when it's cheap. And then I've got that more short-term portfolio that I set up, specific, and it's real money. It's not paper money, $100,000. And I actually placed some bets when I was in St. Bart's. And as most of you can guess, I got my ass handed to me. But fortunately, my money management was pretty good. So I'm still in the game. But now I've made some other big changes, and we'll go over that on Wednesday during that webinar. So again, you guys can go to georgegammon.com/pro. You can do a trial, or you can sign up for a subscription and participate next Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Okay, now let's get over to some charts of stocks that I have added to my watch list. Now, to be very clear, I'm not buying these stocks right now. I'm just, this is the way my sister, who is, if you look at the results, probably one of the greatest investors in the past 5 years. And I'm not joking. I mean, I would put her results up against literally Stan Druckenmiller. And what she does, I call it the Black Friday strategy, because you only buy things once a year, or in other words, you only buy things when they're on sale. That's it. And in the interim, all you're doing is just setting up a watch list of stuff you would like to buy if it got cheap. So I'm just basically copying my own sister. I got to give her all the credit. That's for sure. So the first thing that I'm adding, let me explain why I'm adding these to my watch list. Unfortunately, I think what we have seen in the U.S. economy over the past, really the past decade, but it's sure accelerated since the Cerveza sickness, I think we're going to unfortunately continue to see that trend in the future. And I think that trend is going to get more and more extreme. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do. And this year, it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers. Guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. And what I'm talking about more specifically is the bifurcation of the economy. I tweeted the other day, just remembering back to last year, maybe the year prior, I was having dinner with my good friend, Robert Kiyosaki. Most of you know him from Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And we were having dinner at the Biltmore in Phoenix. And Robert has lived at the Biltmore for many, many, many years. And I lived right at the Biltmore back 2005 to maybe 2009, 2006, 2009 or 2010, right around there. And I remember vividly what it was like back then. And so does Robert. And we were sitting there kind of reminiscing back and forth, comparing it to what it was in the 2000s and what it was today. And just the stark, the shocking, jaw-dropping differences. And we were talking about how back in 2000, even 2006, 2007, when everyone was making, you know, millions and millions of dollars on real estate, you would very rarely see a $200,000 car there, even adjusted for inflation. Like, so you'd rarely see a Ferrari, rarely see a Bentley, Lamborghini, etc. Now you go there and you just pull into the parking lot to the Lifetime Fitness there, and you see 15 of them, Aston Martins, you know, you name it. But back in the day, in 2007, 2008, you never saw a homeless person. Now they're everywhere. They're everywhere. You pull out of that Lifetime Fitness in your $250,000 McLaren, and you're going to be, as soon as you turn out onto the road, which would be, what would that be? 24th, or no, that would be Camelback, I guess. So it's 24th Street and Camelback. So as soon as you turn out onto the main road there, all you see are just drugged out zombies pushing shopping carts around. I mean, it's sad. It really is. And so we have seen this massive divide where the rich have just gotten unbelievably rich. And it is true. A few people in the middle class went into that category because they own assets such as houses, but everyone else has gotten poorer. And then you've had a large percentage of the middle class that has become poor, and a large percentage of the poor that has flat out become homeless. And if you look at what caused this to happen, it's basically government distorting the economy. So you have to ask yourself, moving forward, are we going to have less government spending? In other words, distortions in the economy, or are we going to have more? And in the future, are the central planners going to continue to prop up this, or try to prop up the stock market, or are they just going to let it crash? Are they going to continue to pull all of these crazy rabbits out of the hat, such as Freddie Mac getting involved in the secondary mortgage market to boost housing prices even higher? You know, again, that's what they're attempting to do. Will it work? Who knows? But I can almost assure you that the trends that we have seen with government intruding in the real economy and creating these distortions will get even greater, will get even more extreme throughout the rest of the 2020s. So for me, using that as my base case, I'm adding these stocks to my watch list. Now, again, this is long term. This is not kind of the short term, midterm that we're going to be talking about. And the way I'm defining long term is like 5 years, 10 years, probably 5 years. The midterm I'm defining as maybe 6 months, 1 year. Okay, so the first thing that I'm adding to the watch list is going to be Louis Vuitton. I know this is a conglomerate, but it's high end, super, super high end. So let's look at it. I like the candlestick chart a little bit better. So since, and most of you, you don't even have to look at a chart to know what has happened since 2020. I mean, it's gone. It's gone straight up. In the last 5 years, it's up 132%. And it's kind of flatlined here and going down as the economy slows, which you would expect. And if we do have a hard landing, I would assume, in fact, let's go back to the GFC. I'd be curious. It's kind of tough because this isn't a log chart, but maybe I could. Nope. Sorry, guys. I was hoping I could change it to a log chart, but we can kind of just use a rough ballpark here. So prior to, this would have been 07, we were at around, let's call it $80 or so. And then when we bottom out here in 2009, looks like we're around 40. So it got cut in half. So if we have something similar, then you're looking at this going down to, you know, say it's roughly 800 now, about 400, maybe a little under 400. And so I'm looking at that and I'd say, okay, this is on my watch list. This is something that I would like to buy if it got cheap. Then I'll also, you know, you're looking at the fundamentals, looking at the PE and whatnot. It's actually paying a dividend, which would be nice because if it gets cut in half, obviously that dividend is going to increase as a percentage relative to your cost basis. So the PE 25, again, a little expensive there for what they do. But, you know, if that got down to under 15, I don't know what the price would be, but that's where I would consider pulling the trigger here based it obviously considering what was happening in the macroeconomic environment. So that's the first thing, because again, this trend toward the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, I think is going to continue and it's just going to get more extreme, especially if we go into a hard landing, which they're going to try to prevent or fix by just doing more and more and more of what created the problem to begin with. And that's the government spending that leads to the distortions in the economy, which is, if we go back to that Instagram video that I showed the other day of just Oakland looking like a war zone, that is because of government spending. And so we're just going to see more, but that also means that there's going to be a lot more McMansions and a lot more people driving around in Ferraris. So on that note, the next stock, as you can probably imagine, that I'm putting on the old watch list would be Ferrari, because if you see 10 Ferraris in Lifetime Fitness right now, I can assure you in 5 years, you'll probably be seeing 50 Ferraris. And then when you drive out onto that main road, you're not only going to be seeing drugged out zombie people pushing shopping carts, you're going to see entire tent cities. So transitioning to kind of the how to, you know, profit, I know it's kind of a harsh word when we're talking about this type of topic, but you know, you got two choices. You can either just bury your head in the sand, you can complain about it, or you can make sure that you're positioning yourself to have the ability to care for your family and the ones you love. That's really the way I look at it. So the next stock is First Cash Holdings. Not sure what it looks like. Their ticker is FCFS. What does First Cash Holdings do? They're basically a publicly traded pawn shop. So, and this, I don't want to take credit for this idea. I got this from my good buddy, Chris McIntosh, who is one of the pros in Rebel Capital's pro. And this is, let's see, in USD. I don't know what currency they're giving me here. You know what was weird, Josh, is when I clicked on this, they somehow gave it to me in Spanish. So just disregard this. I don't know. Disregard that. Let's just look at the chart here. So basically what they do is they're a pawn shop. So how this works, for those of you who don't know, is if you get into a desperate situation, if you have a watch or a necklace or whatever it is, this camera would be a good example. This 4K Sony A7C. I know this thing's pretty expensive, but if I got into some hard times, I would take this camera down to the pawn shop. They'd give me a loan for it at like 20% LTV. And then if I didn't pay it back, they keep the camera and sell it. And I think this is going to be unfortunately, probably a growth business moving forward. So we've got them on the watch list. That's for sure. That's First Cash Holdings. The next one, and this is what it is, but it's by market cap, the largest marijuana stock. So you know, we go into recession, people lose hope. They see the rich getting richer. I mean, this is, unfortunately, this is what they're going to do. Especially, you know, the people hanging out on Reddit or talking about how the man is screwing them and whatnot. I mean, they're right. They're right. They're getting screwed. They're getting the short end of they're getting a raw deal. But the bottom line is this is what they're going to do. And I think the politicians and the central planners will get in a position where their tax revenues really start to decline. And this is what they're going to turn to. So any regulations that exist right now that impede the progress of these retail vendors or whatever it is, my base case is that those are all gone in 5 years and it's pretty much, you know, sold like alcohol. The next thing we've got here is Walmart. Definitely adding that to the, I mean, if you want to look at a great chart, wow, that's that you're looking at one. That's for sure. And this is just a 1 year chart. They reported great earnings the other day. Now that to be complete in the analysis, they also reported that they're laying off a lot of workers and trying to bring them back into Arkansas as opposed to working remotely because they're trying to increase productivity. So they're seeing some storm clouds on the horizon. So I'm not buying any of these now, to be very, very clear. But for the time being, this is a great looking chart. You know, Hugh just, I know he's not a trader, but this is a conversation that we had over dinner. Hugh always thought that when you saw a chart like this, the gap would be filled before it would start to increase. Steve thought that was nonsense, just for what it's worth. I don't have an opinion, obviously. So those are the five stocks that I am adding to my watch list for my Black Monday, or my sister's Black Monday strategy. And to be clear, that's the long-term portfolio. So this would be 5 years plus. For the midterm portfolio, 6 months to a year, none of this applies. None of this applies except for the strategies that we were talking about earlier. Now, I have made some significant changes over there. Again, that's something that we're going to be discussing in greater detail on Wednesday, 2 p.m., Eastern time. So if you want to participate in that live webinar, just go over to georgegammon.com/pro. You can go ahead and sign up there. And as always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, for market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.